Well, our special guest today is Kelly Parcher. She currently is under contract with the state of Washington for activities that I'm going to probably introduce in the introduction, but that's not why she's here specifically, and we'll get into that in just a moment. She's been involved with the Proctor House, Jefferson County Juvenile and Family Services Alternative, and that's under contract with Jefferson County. And also, she's a juvenile detention manager, and she provides alternative juvenile detention options to youth and supervision of programming to court-ordered offenders who are low, moderate, and high risk. Topside treatment court professional, and this court serves youth that have drug and alcohol addiction and or mental health diagnoses. She's a master trainer certification. It provides initial refresher training on a state level to professionals in training, court staff to facilitate instruction and social skills training, anger control training, and moral reasoning, moderate and high risk youth. She's taught over 80 groups of an average of 10 moderate to high risk youth per group. And Kelly designs and facilitates a low-risk weekend workshop for Jefferson County, and this involves parents with low-risk teens. She provides state-level consultation and training to counties to facilitate the Girls Only Active Learning Program for moderate and high-risk females. And at the Center for Anti-Bullying and Nonviolence in Denver, Colorado, Kelly is a We Teach Peace master trainer and consultant. But that's not all, folks. There's more. We're going to talk about something that's not necessarily dealing with adjudicated youth as much as it is youth in a certain stage of their lives and development and exploration of the world. And we're going to have Kelly tell you a little bit more about that. Kelly is the executive director of the Pfeiffer House, which is a nonprofit organization not connected with the county, and the Sustainable Living Project. And we will get into that in just a moment. So first, I want to welcome Kelly Parcher to Community Tides. Hiya, Kelly.
Hiya. Great. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's so good to have you because there's so much we want to ask you in so little time. But I think that, Siobhan, I think, why don't you lead things off?
Yeah. Hi, Kelly. I'm so excited for our listeners who have maybe not met you before because you're one of our community's gems, as Chris said. And I just want to start out by thanking you for everything that you've done for our youth here. Your experience and commitment is just really unparalleled in my experience. So first of all, thank you.
Thank you for your kind words.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if maybe you would start out by painting a picture for us about what life is like for 18 to 24-year-olds here. I mean, kind of what's out there for them, what are you seeing, and how does your new effort fit into that? I know a lot of people have seen that beautiful old Victorian house up by Aldrich's under renovation, being painted. That's Pfeiffer House, so if you could just give us a little bit of a landscape and then tell us something about what's going on in that building.
Yeah, absolutely. So to speak about 18 to 24-year-olds in our community is probably a really big conversation. So I think I'll, by the virtue of our time, I think I'll keep it really tailored to specifically of the population that we're working with at the Pfeiffer House. And that is that 18 to 24-year-old young emerging adults who have some sort of connection to our community, means that they've been here for like 6 months or longer. Some have, you know, resided in this community the majority of their life. And to qualify, really, this whole particular program is around housing. So we're trying to serve that particular population of young emerging adults who are either are homeless or at high risk of homelessness. So, you know, this kind of goes way, way back. The homeless and housing crisis isn't anything new in our community. And we really have been working with a number of agencies from OLECAP to Peninsula Housing to juvenile justice to mental health substance providers and talking about how do we serve this particular population of young people, right? Because sometimes they get lost in the translation or the shift from coming out of maybe a household or being recognized through school or younger programs. And they kind of just all of a sudden get dropped into being an adult. And that is, it proves to be difficult for some of those young folks. And so we're really working with them to provide housing for them. So anybody that kind of comes into the Pfeiffer House, first of all, they have to qualify because through income-based, so it's all low-income housing specifically for that population. And then the second qualifier is they either need to be homeless or at really high extreme risk of homelessness within the near future. And so that's how we kind of initially started our process. We were very fortunate to be supported by some local grant funds to, as Siobhan mentioned, rehabbing an 1888 building that needed some attention. And so we have brought that back up, and in a pretty short period of time, well, we were full within a week of kind of getting our approval and clearance. Unfortunately, there's a long list of young adults out there that still need housing, but we're really happy to have the folks that we have in our facility right now.
Kelly, I'm interested on two things. First of all, sort of the internal structure of the house and how it's run, but also OWL 360 or OWL 360. Is that an acronym? What is it? That is in conjunction with Pfeiffer House.
Correct. That is the nonprofit, and no, it's just the owl bird of it. And really, I think the short intention is, right, just the wiseness and the awareness and many different things that the owl represents. But 360, and our goal is for this younger population that we're working with to hopefully have them have that full experience of maybe what they didn't have as a youth or as they're going to experience as a young adult, kind of just getting that full gamut of life. And part of that just really comes with independent living. So everybody that is in our units, they are under a minimum of a one-year lease, and they live in a one-bedroom apartment. So you could live there with a partner who qualifies with that, a child who qualifies with that, or you can live independently. And we really have a gamut of young families to expecting parents to individuals living in that unit. And they can come to us in any way. They can do a self-referral of homelessness or in need of housing. They can be referred by a provider. They can be referred by a parent or a community member. And our process just kind of goes really quick as far as their intake, whether they qualify based on income. And then secondarily, their voluntary commitment to be engaged in programming, which we think is really a vital part to helping these young adults emerge. And kind of gain those skills that maybe they haven't had the opportunity from in either their previous housing or there may be gaps. And so we want to be able to support them in whatever is their goal or interest, whether it's employment, whether it's basic education, whether it's physical or mental health, well-being, life skills, budgeting. So the programs are really set up in the kind of a case management way, if you will, at really kind of being specifically responsible or responsive to those individuals in that unit and what it is they desire.
Kelly, those houses back then were sort of built for to accommodate generations often, and it just seems appropriate. Internally, what's the capacity of Pfeiffer House?
Well, currently right now we have seven young adults in five units. It's a sixplex unit. One of our units is actually used for meeting. We have an on-site mental health therapist that our residents can access at any time for any reason. And then so we have five other living units. We have seven young adults living in those units currently, some double bunked, if you will. One young family with a new infant and a toddler, and some expecting parents.
Kelly, I'm wondering, you mentioned the programming supports that are available. Does OWL 360 provide those, or do you have a network of partners? Who are you working with?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a combination of it. So for myself, I work with them individually on a case management kind of plan and kind of what their driven goals are. But we actually have a lot of amazing partners within our community, from both of our substance providers, Safe Harbor, Believe in Recovery, Discovery Behavioral Health. You know, there's a lot of private and individual counselors who are absolutely willing to be on board and support these young adults. We're working closely with SkillNation. We're working with the Employment Education Program. We just recently connected with WorkSource. So WorkSource is working out of our community, specifically in their Youth Pathways Program for 16 to 24-year-olds. So not only are they being able to use that space for other young adults in our community, but they're also providing services for those that may be interested who are current Fiber House residents.
I'm loving the idea that these links are connected to a lot of entities out here that are nonprofits or service entities that are doing good work for the larger population. But I'm very simpatico for that particular age range from 18 to 24.
Yeah.
It's really a time.
Definitely.
When
people... It's a critical time.
Exactly. I was just going to say it's a time where I think as a community, we have to be really mindful, especially as a significant amount of resources are dedicated through scholarships, for example, to four-year higher education organizations, but, you know, really not that much support for people who might want to go into the trades or, you know, apprenticeships or internships, you know. And I know that we're interested, the Community Foundation is really interested in looking at that, at the landscape of scholarships, and seeing if we can't kind of get more connected to a broader range of opportunity, especially for that age group.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would be more than interested to partner with you in that conversation as well. I think it isn't. There are a lot of opportunities for our young folks in this community. And as we know that this, you know, within the city limits, it's difficult to be able to afford to live here as a young person on a wage of $15 an hour. So, you know, expanding those skills and those trades and those opportunities for young folks will be really, really important, A, to keep them here in our community, and then for them to be able to, you know, transition out and live in their own sustainable living.
Kelly, you, as always, I'm amazed by your ability to create this network of partnerships that support young people. It's really extraordinary. I'm wondering, do you have everything you need at Fiber House? I mean, are there any gaps that you need to fill?
Today I can say I think we are fairly set. We were fortunate enough to receive a grant from Department of Commerce that is helping us kind of continue those major restoration projects, as well as receiving some local funds of 148, 149. So I think at the moment we're doing fairly well. We just partnered with an agency who was able to get four of our young adults on their own personal computer so they could start the process of completing their GED, and all of them have very much interest in continuing education and even beyond their general education diploma, but maybe to some post-secondary schooling. So I think as things come up for individuals, we may need kind of some support, but again, these young folks have just been in the house for a couple of months, and we're all just getting to learn about each other and kind of what it is that they may need, for sure.
Well, Kelly, in the process of learning about one another, what have you seen that works best in your experience, not only your previous experience, but now dealing with youth who are working to turn their lives around?
Well, I think that's a great question. I mean, I'll say what we have done so far just in the Fiber House is we meet once a month. We get together. We have events, and these young people have actually become connected to one another. So I think that's a really vital, is actually having some connections to like people of your age. You know, we're not just a substance or a mental health facility or just a homelessness, right? These are human beings who all have life experiences, and they've all really developed a very nice friendship with one another and feel very supportive. The neighborhood, if you will, and the community has been very supportive of these young folks. And I think that's just a really important thing, is just recognizing, right, what it is and for our community to be allies for these young folks as they grow and learn and give them opportunities and experiences that maybe they never had when they came from living in a tent or living out of their car, you know, because they're all very much interested in progressing. And in the short time, they're all really thriving with just simply the opportunity of, right, having a safe place over their head with a positive connection to either their peers and or other providers in the community.
Kelly, the word ally is an important word to me. It means a lot. It's a multi-layered word. It's a multi-layered definition, and extremely important. There's connectivity involved in that definition as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Ally is a very large word, and it's really important in lots of things that what we do and how we relate in general with the human race. But in particular, right, if you're talking about a population of young folks who have had some struggles for whatever reasons, and right, there's a lot of preconceived ideas of why people think people are homelessness. And so I would just encourage community to just be open to the idea that we may not know what got them there. And regardless of whatever led them there is, right, really support them and positively encourage them and give them an opportunity to, you know, no different than you would any other young individual.
I want to just share with our listeners the idea of adverse childhood experiences. This is a breakthrough piece of research that was done by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and others about 20 years ago that kind of is leading more and more to our community, not to asking what did you do, but what happened to you as a child and how is that expressing, how's that trauma expressing itself as you kind of grow into adulthood and lead lives. And if anyone hasn't heard of that research, I encourage folks to look into it because it really is transforming not only youth services, but education, adjudication, all kinds of things in our society right now. And I think it's one of the most major advancements that I've seen in society in my community work. So just wanted to point people towards that. Kelly, I'm wondering if you could give us a sense, and this might not be fair because I can only imagine the amount of work that that you've put in. Do you see this as potentially a pilot for other Pfeiffer House-like houses?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that unfortunately the opportunity is there. Last, when I checked probably a month ago with our kind of providers and those that send referrals to us, there were 20 kids, right, that 18 and 24 year old that were on the list and were considered pretty high risk and high need. So I know that population is out there, and I think it is really important to serve and provide them opportunities in a different way than maybe we would for that older population. I think sometimes when you blend an 18 year old with a 40 or 50 or 60 year old, right, there's different risks and different levels of where people are. And so trying to eliminate some of those risks and allow these young people to kind of, you know, slowly merge into adulthood as opposed to be throwing into like the expectations of a 45 or a 50 year old person. So I absolutely hope that we will progress in providing more housing programs specifically for this age population, as well as looking into the idea of exploring, you know, as our resource center develops, is exploring the idea about the possibility of host homes in our community, where there can kind of be shorter and longer term housing spaces or shared space that also might provide.
Sorry to interrupt you, Kelly. We're going to have to sign off here, but do keep us informed because I know this community, our heart is with you, and our resources will be too as you do your fine work.
Kelly, hey, I appreciate your guys' time.
Kelly Dillingham-Parcher, OWL 360 Pfeiffer House Executive Director, Sustainable Living Project in our neighborhood on Lawrence Street in Uptown. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on Alternative Fridays here at KPTZ with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, we'll see you all next time.